Have a Bible, I'd like you to open it to the book of Psalms. We've been looking at the Psalms. What a special Sunday this is for Baker, his first time in church. And the last time I saw Baker, he was in a NICU room in Iowa City. What a blessing. Oh God, answers prayer in all of our lives. I shared during the Sunday school hour, just kind of gave you just an update on so many of our people, and so I trust that you are praying. We have some folk in our church that are going through difficult times, and I won't share the details again, but do pray for those in our church family, and that they would know God's peace. And I trust that you will continue to be what you so faithfully have over the years, that you'll be a loving church family that reaches out and ministers to those in the time of need. So Father, we thank you again for this moment in the service, but also the moment in the week where we gather out of a necessity to hear from you and this chosen method that you've laid out before us of the preaching of the word. And I just want to thank you for those that are committed to hearing what you say. And now, Father, I sense the weakness in my own spirit, the frailty. I sense the inadequacy of taking your holy word and being able to explain it in such a way. And Father, we just remind ourselves again of the power of the word of God. There is one thing in all the world that cuts to the very heart of our being, and it's your word. And we thank you that we approach it not just by ourselves, by our own understanding, but whenever the word is spoken, preached, read, meditated on, your spirit comes alongside of it and helps us to understand it and brings the encouragement and the strength and times conviction in our lives. So we just want to thank the Holy Spirit this morning for his presence in our midst. So as we pray so often, and we pray again this morning, speak, speak, O Lord, speak to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning, and the question is this, kind of fitting in the light of a lot of some of the pain and sorrow that our church family has experienced and is experiencing. The question is this: how are we as Christians to respond to the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering that we face in this world? Now, it's an important question because of the fact that we live in a world full of sorrow, a world full of tears, a world full with pain and suffering. And these troubles and these sorrows and the sufferings, they come in many different forms and sizes and shapes. Some of you have experienced, and I know your stories, of great sorrows in the past. And there's a good chance that right now some of you are experiencing great pain right now. The kind of pain I'm talking about is the pain and sorrow that leaves you sleepless at night. And it's the unsettledness in your innermost being that won't go away. You see, we as Christians, we're not immune to the troubles and the heartaches of this world. God doesn't wrap us in bubble wrap after he saves us and then proceeds to protect us from the sorrow of living in a fallen, broken world. Jeremiah the prophet said this in Lamentations 3, "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long." Now, if Jeremiah didn't get a pass on affliction, guess what? I can guarantee you that you and I won't either. And so the question that we must consider as Christians is this: how do we respond to these deep times of affliction, these seasons of life where we experience sorrow? And I want to suggest to you this morning that God has provided a means for us, a way to respond to the heartaches of life, and that means is the gift of lament. Let me ask you the question. When I say lament, what comes to your mind? Undoubtedly, many of you, when I say that word lament, many of you begin to probably think of maybe an experience, something you've witnessed, something that you have actually been involved in, these moments of incredible grief that overwhelms you, a loud cry, a howl maybe, obviously, again, in times of deep sorrow. I want to suggest to you this morning that this gift, and it is a gift that God has chosen to give us as believers, this gift of lament, is more than simply an outward expression of sorrow, but it's more than simply walking through the stages of grief. But here's a little definition. Maybe you've seen this before, but biblical lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Biblical lament is meant to bring us to God in our times of sorrow. I'll say it again many times throughout the sermon. It is a gift. It is a gift that God has given us and to encourage us and been given to us to use in times of sorrow. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of laments. Matter of fact, there's a whole book in the Bible, and it's called what? Lamentations. And now, as we're looking through this book of Psalms, which is, as you know, was the hymnal for the children of Israel, one-third of their songs, their hymnal, were songs of lament. Songs that were expressing their sorrow and pain. Now, I know, and I understand this completely, that we have a tendency to want to sing songs that are upbeat, right? Songs that energize us. Songs that get the juices flowing, right? It's only natural for us to have that natural tendency to want to praise our God. But there are times when we come to worship with heavy hearts. Let me just ask you, have you ever dreaded coming to church because you felt like you had to put on a happy face? And I'll be the first to admit, not only had to come to church, I had to come and preach. I didn't want to come. My heart had been overwhelmed by some circumstances of life. And there's been times, let's get really transparent here, where it's like, I don't want to go and put on a happy face. And then to have to come and to sing some song that, you know, is just making it, you know, expressing somehow this that you're happy and you're glad and everything is okay. And don't hear me wrong, it is proper and right to come into his presence with gladness, Psalm 100. But it is also proper and right to come into his presence when your heart is heavy and you're ready to lament. I think it was interesting, just yesterday, we were visiting with Steve and Shirley again. And again, as I shared during the Sunday school hour, it's been a very, very trying time for them in their lives. And Steve, as we were sharing and just sharing the difficulties of the trial that they, God has chosen to put in front of them, and week after week now of not feeling better, week after week of really no answers from the doctors for the pain, and it's only natural to become down, and you want to use that word, even depressed at times, and I'm I was sharing with Shirley just what I was going to share with us this morning, this thing that God has given to us. It's okay to lament. And Shirley was sharing with me, even as she was driving to the hospital yesterday morning, she was listening to some songs, and the songs she was sharing with me were expressing somewhat of what we're going to look at here this morning. And she said, you know, one of the things that she said, after you said that, Pastor, she said, one of the things that come to think about it, she said, all of those songs that were really ministering to my heart this morning, as I was on my way to the hospital, they were just like all slow songs. And there's a time where our hearts are broken and sad. You know what I'm talking about, right? Your heart is just crushed. And there are times where then you come into his presence with God's people, and there are times where it's okay to just lament. In Psalm 13, like I said, there's 50 of these, one-third of the book, the hymnal, were slow songs of lament. And Psalm 13 is probably the classic in my mind. It's a psalm that I've gone to numerous times with people in times of difficulty. But Psalm 13 is a classic lament. And I want us to look at Psalm 13 this morning because I want us to see and really discover the pattern, the outline to help us, the key ingredients, if you like, of what a biblical lament looks like. And then maybe for no other reason this morning, we're just looking at it as I've already expressed to you. We just want to look at it just to give us permission to lament. So Pastor Colt read it. I want to read it again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. Well, the question is David, what's going on in David's life? He is overwhelmed. Verse 2, you can see that. What does he say? He's got sorrow in his heart all the day. Why? What's going on in his life? Maybe some of you are familiar with the text, what's going on. But King Saul was on a mission to kill him. And Saul was literally hunting David down as one would hunt down an animal. David is conversing with King Saul's son, Jonathan, and he says this in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. He says, there's a step between me and death. David literally didn't know if the next step he took would be a step right into Saul's death trap. And this had been going on in his life for maybe 8 or 9 years. And at one point in David's life, David lost all hope. And he says this in 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. David said, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. David describes his heart like this in Psalm 102 and verse 4. My heart is struck down like grass. In verse 7 of that same psalm, he says, I am like a lonely sparrow on a housetop. So again, the question is now, how does David respond to this heart of sorrow? He laments. Again, the definition of lament, a biblical lament, is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And I want us to see really four aspects. This is kind of the outline this morning a little bit of biblical lament. I think this is true of all biblical laments. And it's this, is David, what he does is he turns to God in prayer. He brings his complaint to God. He lays out the reason for his sorrow. He brings a request to God. He asks God to do something. And fourthly, he expresses his trust in God and praises him. His heart is renewed. I've shared there with in your bulletin, Mark Brogob's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, and he's so helpful with us understanding biblical lamenting, and he has a real little outline. It's really simple. You can write this down: turn, complain, ask, and trust. So let's look at each one of these aspects this morning. Turn. Verse 1 again. How long, O Lord? In his despair and sorrow, he doesn't turn away from God. He turns towards God. Listen to Asaph's lament in Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2, he says, I cried out to God, aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of trouble, I will seek the Lord. And again, for those that were with us in our earlier hour, and we saw Isaiah at the end there this morning, what was Isaiah doing? He was lamenting. He was crying out loud to the Lord. Biblical lamenting means reaching out to God in our prayer and in our pain and sorrow. It means to refuse to give God the silent treatment. It means to refuse to become bitter. It means to refuse to speak against God or harden our hearts towards him. It's turning towards God, praying to God when we don't feel like God is there. It's refusing to succumb to our emotions and choosing instead to go to God in our darkest hour. It's believing. Psalm 121. And again, it was earlier in the week as we were sharing with Steve and Shirley that Shirley shared this verse with us, that this is the verse that kept on coming back to her mind. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, there's nothing more dangerous in a time of despair than to turn from God and stop talking to him. I don't know who said this, but it's a great quote. I wonder how many believers stop speaking to God about their pain, disappointed by unanswered prayers or frustrated by out-of-control circumstances. These people wind up in a spiritual desert, unable or refusing to talk to God. So the question for me and for you this morning is this: where do you turn? To whom do you turn when your heart is overwhelmed with sorrow and grief? Do you turn to God and cry out to him even when he seems absent? Or do you give God the silent treatment? David turned to God. Now notice what he says here in verses 1 and 2 again. He says, how long, O Lord? I want you to see it there. Four times in two verses. How long? Verse 1, God, how long, God, are you going to forget me, God? Is it going to be forever, God? How long are you going to hide your face from me? What's David doing? Psalm 13:1 tells us that David's complaining. He complained. And you see this in all the Psalms of lament. Psalm 10 and verse 1. Why do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in the times of trouble? Write these verses down. You can look at them later. In which the psalmist is complaining to God. Where are you, God? God, why are you doing this to me? Psalm 22, Psalm 44, you can read those. Psalm 80. Here's the point. When your heart is breaking, don't pretend. Don't try to fake God out that everything is okay. God wants us to bring our complaints to him. And I bet you're thinking, and I'm thankful you are thinking, you say, wait a minute. I didn't think that we are supposed to complain as Christians. Philippians 2:14 is still in the Bible, right? Do everything without complaining. So what are you talking about, Pastor? You're telling me I'm supposed to complain. Now we got to answer the question. What's the difference between a biblical complaint of lament and a sinful complaint to God? And here's maybe a good answer. A sinful complaint is a complaint of bitterness towards God and His sovereignty. But a complaint of lament is not a complaint of bitterness towards God, but just the opposite. It's a complaint of faith based on our belief in who God is and what He can do. You see, David had been promised. He'd been promised by God. He'd been promised the throne, right? Things were going to be rosy and things were going to go well for David. And now this, for 8 or 9 years, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Based upon what he knows about God, what he's been promised by God, and what he believes about God. So he's just being open and honest before God and asking this question, as I just shared 4 times, God, how long? He's not sinning in asking that question. And I remind us, I think I have over the years, it's not wrong to ask the why question. Jesus asked the why question. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The souls of the slain martyrs in Revelation chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, they ask the why question. When he opened the fifth seal, I say under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne, they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? They'd been martyred. They're not expressing a sinful complaint, but a complaint of lament. To lament is to lay out our complaint in an honest, humble way, being honest about our feelings and emotions, with the realization that God knows all about our emotions and our feelings and our questions. And God just wants me and you to be honest with Him. And He wants us to look to Him in faith. My frustrations and your frustrations, they don't fluster God. God didn't rebuke David's complaint or the complaint of the martyred saints because they weren't complaints of bitterness towards God, but complaints of faith and trust in God and His promises. So I say to you this morning, don't live in denial concerning your sorrow and your questions. Certainly, there are times where you must be honest with people, but don't always try to put on the happy face when your heart is breaking. But most importantly, don't try to put on a happy face with God and try to hide from God what's really going on in your heart, because the reality is God wants us to be honest with Him, to share our hearts and cry out to Him in our times of need. Well, that's what happens. Read with me verses 3 and 4. He lays out his complaint, but now he asks. Consider verse 3. And answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes so I can see what's going on, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaking. And again, this is what he's asking God. He's asking God, right? God, consider me. God, answer me. God, talk to me. God, give me light to my eyes. Give me enlightenment. Give me physical and spiritual vitality. God, don't let my enemies rejoice, right? His lament moves from the why to the who. And the who is God and His promises. And those are big. They're big, bold requests that God would answer him, that God would consider him, that God would open his eyes. You see, he's praying that God would protect his glory. And his focus, right, has changed. It's changed from him and all of his trouble now to what? The character of God. Somebody said like this, God's character is a bridge from the complaint of our hurting to boldly petitioning God for his glory. And God absolutely loves it when we're open and honest and expressing our pain to him and then boldly lays out before him our request for him and his glory to be revealed. He says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of God, we may receive mercy and find grace to the help in need, because as we cry out to him, who gets the glory? He gets the glory. And so we cry out, we ask. We ask what we think is the impossible. We reveal our desire for God and his glory to be revealed and honored even in our pain. Which leads then to one last element to his lament. He turns, he complains, he asks big. But notice with me verses 5 and 6. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Trust. There's been a drastic change in David's mindset from verses 1 to verse 6. David has gone from expressing how long, he's gone from expressing his hurt to now telling God, God, I trust in your steadfast love. He's telling God that his heart rejoices in his salvation. He's telling God that he's going to sing to him because of his bountiful blessing in his life. David, as we obviously can see, he's in a lot better place at the end of verse 6 than verse 1. And Warren Wiersbe said it like this: David's circumstances haven't changed, but the Lord has changed him. And that occurred when David stopped looking at his feelings and his foes and by faith started looking to the Lord. And oh, how God wants to change us. We want the circumstances in our lives to change. That he's all about changing us. And David's allowing God to do whatever he wants in his life, and he's going to trust in God. He still can't connect all the dots. He still doesn't know if he's going to live, right? King Saul hasn't just all of a sudden stopped chasing after him. But guess what? He doesn't need to know if he's going to live. He doesn't need to know if King Saul is going to stop his rampage against him. Because now his trust, his heart is settled on God. His steadfast love, the salvation that God has provided for him in his bountiful goodness to us. In a few weeks, we're going to look at Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, we find the psalmist in the same position in which he finds himself, where he gets to a place. He's just stranded on God. Like a man lost at sea, he comes to an island, and David now is just stranded on God and God's goodness to him and God's blessing in his life and God's love to him in his life. So what do we do when our hearts are overwhelmed and breaking? I don't know about you, but you know what I often want? I want just the pain to go away. I want the sorrow, I want the problem, I want whatever, I just want it to go away. But you know what God wants to do in my life, in your life? He wants us to learn to cling to him. And so he helps us by giving us a process. And the process is this: don't turn from God, don't become bitter, but instead turn to God and ask, complain, tell him what's going on in your life. It's a complaint of faith. And then ask him to demonstrate his power in your life in ways that only God can. And then trust him because of who he is and his love and his goodness and his kindness for us. I want to try something. Can we practice lamenting now for a moment? In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. And I don't know, there could be some sorrow, some sadness, some brokenheartedness in your life. And it could be from years past, it could be present. It could be that you've become bitter over it. And you've now just given God the silent treatment over it. I don't know what it could have been years, decades ago. And I'm going to ask you, we're going to do this together. I'm going to ask you to turn to God. And then I'm going to ask you just to share with your heart what you feel, what you're experiencing, your complaint. And then I'm going to ask you to ask God to do something really big in that situation. And then I'm going to close with a word of prayer, trusting our God. So right now, would you bow your heads with me?